It's Magic the Amateuring, everybody.
And what is Magic the Amateuring?
Magic the Amateuring is a state of mind, Megan.
Oh, man. I'm really off today.
What do you mean?
I mean that my question came like 3 seconds after your statement.
Like I said,
I felt time pass between you saying it's Magic the Amateuring and me saying, what is that? I literally...
No, it was not like 3 seconds.
The universe slowed down.
I can tell you it was not 3 seconds.
Everything paused. The world inhaled and exhaled and inhaled again.
Uh-huh.
And then I asked my question.
Well, I'm telling you, Megan's going through a lot
now.
She's in grad school.
I'm quite tired.
It's cold out there.
It's very cold.
But I got it, Megan, it was not 3 seconds. It was nearly instantaneous.
Really?
Yes.
I felt a
You've
lot of time
me. Megan, Magic the Amateuring is a state of mind to answer your question.
In that case, I am definitely not there.
You're not in the Magic the Amateuring state of mind?
I'm in Space Mind.
Space Mind?
Yep.
That sounds way more exciting, honestly.
Honestly, it's just kind of, it's dark. There's not a lot of light out here. It's quite cold.
Yeah.
As it is in space.
If
there's
you fart,
nothing nearby.
It's a problem.
Why?
Because you're in a spacesuit.
Oh, I was thinking of myself not in a spacesuit.
Oh, like in a space.
Yeah, I was like, it's the opposite ship. Of... No, I was just like in space, just as me, without a ship or a suit.
Oh my God. Are you breathing?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm like fine.
You're like the star child.
Exactly.
You're just existing.
I can handle it. It's good.
I'm in a hive state of mind.
A hive?
I'm in a hive mind.
Go away.
Everybody, welcome to Magic the Amateuring. Not only are we a state of mind, we're also a Magic the Gathering podcast.
Absolutely. We are for players who are new to the game, who are returning to the game, or who like to, you know, slap a few cards on a table and call it a day.
That could be my grandma playing Pinochle.
Does she really play Pinochle?
She's dead, Megan.
Well, then don't make a reference to her.
That was so insensitive of you.
Sensitive of you to bring your own grandmother up. I'm with it.
Okay.
I'm with it.
Well, Megan, since you're so with it,
yep.
I've decided we're going to have a big show today.
Oh, good. I'm ready.
Specifically because you seem to be just on top of it.
Let's tackle something big. Let's tackle something momentous.
All right, we will. We're going to tackle the Oath of the Gatewatch pre-release.
What?
I know.
It happened.
It sure did.
I remember it.
I remember it like it was yesterday, because for me, it was.
Oh, it was yesterday for you. For me, it was 2 days ago.
I know. I played 2 pre-release events.
Oh.
Yeah. I would have done more if, you know, it was humanly possible to fit more into the day.
You goddamn traitor.
Why am I a traitor?
Going to pre-release events without me?
You were at school.
It's true.
All right, Megan. Let's not fight.
Well.
Because we're going to talk about the pre-release on the show. We're also going to talk about some bands in Modern, which a lot of people are talking
those
about.
Those happened.
Those happened in advance of the Pro Tour coming up early next month.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty exciting and controversial changes there.
Yeah.
And we're going to play a fun new game. We've got an Oath of the Gatewatch pack here ready to be cracked.
Yeah.
And I'm expecting another foil Kozilek's Return in here for me. So.
Yeah, because that's worth a lot of money.
I know. I opened one in my first pre-release as my promo card and promptly sold it for $80.
What?
I didn't sell it for $80. I sold it for $60.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
I was like, gotta unload this quick. It is not going to be $60 next week. I don't know
that for sure, but
that's my guess.
My guess is that you are correct.
But I think it's an extremely good card. And
it's a very, very good card. You know, but that's a lot of money.
I know. I bought some cards with it. Do you want to know what I bought?
What?
Hangerback Walkers.
What?
I know. I might be investing in a standard deck, everybody.
Holy snapper!
Hold on to your butts. We'll talk about that in a second.
Oh, man.
What?
I was going to say something, but it kind of pertains to Modern, so I could say it later.
Save it.
I could say it now.
Save it in your tummy hole.
I don't have one of those.
Everybody has a hole in their stomach, Megan. How would the food get in?
Are you talking about like a kangaroo pouch?
Yeah.
Maria, it's you and kangaroos and platypi.
And koalas.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure koalas have pouches?
Yes.
Do you know what? We're going to go to some interviews from the pre-release, and when we come back, I'm going to have either confirmed or denied that koalas have pouches, because I'm not buying this.
All right. We'll see.
Megan.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are
you ready?
I'm ready.
How ready are you?
I'm so ready that if you ask me again, I still say yes.
We're here at the pre-release. We've got our packs of Oath of the Gatewatch. I'm ready to open this. This looks like a pyramid, like a secret tomb of some ancient king. And I'm going to open it and find the remains of an amazing deck.
We're going to have a Legends of the Hidden Temple moment.
That was a great show.
Right? I know. And I was just mentioning that I always am like the last person on the list, but now I'm not punished anymore that everyone just gets the same box.
Yeah. We aren't picking colors anymore. And it's so much better, I think, because that was kind of a lot of pressure and you'd run out of colors.
Exactly.
Anyway, Megan, what card are you looking to open the most?
Kozilek.
Kozilek?
Draw cards up to 7 again.
Oh. How much does Kozilek cost?
10.
No big deal.
No big deal.
I want to open Linvala the Preserver.
Oh,
because I
want
to win every single game.
I want to open Crush of Tentacles.
Oh, yeah.
That one. And it's blue.
Megan, you and Blue should get a room.
I mean, I paint rooms blue.
Goodbye. Right. We're here with Ted.
Yeah. Maria, I have to ask
one
quick question.
What?
Why do I never get the chair?
Megan.
I'm just always...
Because you're the smallest. You can fit in any cubby
hole. You're acrobatic, so...
Ted, are you looking forward to this pre-release?
Yeah, really much. I haven't been into pre-release in a couple different sets, so looking to get back into it.
Ooh.
Play some big colorless spells and hopefully finally win a couple games at a pre-release. I've just been...
Do you have bad luck at pre-release?
Like 1-3 the last 5 pre-releases. So looking for the luck to change, you know, fortunes maybe in my favor today, I'm hoping, so.
What archetype are you looking to open?
I want to play some colorless creatures.
Yeah, me too.
Oh yeah, I want to drain some life and gain some life, using that sweet uncommon that for one in a colorless, they lose a life, you gain a life. I want to do that, and then some of the rare colorless guys look really sweet, so.
I agree.
Hoping to just pack all those into a deck. Use the common lands that you can tap for a colorless, or like pay one and tap for a color. Like that, I think those are going to be valuable in both sealed and draft once things get rolling. And I think they're kind of going to be slept on early on. So hoping to get lots of those in my pool. Just really.
You know what I'm interested to see is if in any like average sealed pool you can reasonably expect to play your colorless creatures with the lands and the creatures that make colorless mana provided.
I think so, because back in battle there's those uncommon set of lands that has tap for a colorless or like tap and a color and do some effect. I don't remember what they're called, but I think those along with the ones in Oath will really allow it. And so the other thing I'm excited about is all these uncommon dual lands that come in to play taps. That with the spells in battle that converge spells, I think will be another kind of slept on, because converge wasn't very powerful in battle.
Agreed.
But now that you have all these extra lands that can produce multiple colors, I think that'll be kind of a good strategy too. So
if anybody's wondering why Megan just got up and ran away, it's because she got into this pre-release because she was the first person on the waiting list, because Megan never signs up in time.
Look, you guys, that would require so much planning. It would just be so much pre-planning to call in time.
This is what I have to deal with.
That or she's VIP and you guys are pulling the VIP card out just at the right time. I mean, that might have something to do with it.
Nicholas.
Hey.
So we've interviewed you on the show before at a pre-release.
Yes. Only this, audio this time.
This is video now.
Yes, we're in the future.
Okay, so Nicholas.
Yes.
Oath of the Gatewatch.
Yes.
What card are you looking to open?
There are cards that don't have any color in this set, I'm told.
Yes, that's very true.
My seal pool is going to be completely colorless, but because the store doesn't have enough colorless mana to do it, I'm just going to run just islands.
Nicholas, I gotta break something to you.
Tell me.
You can only play with Waste, the colorless land, that are in your pool. That's it. You can't go get any more.
All right. If anybody wants my pre-release box, they can have it right now. It's for sale.
You're done?
That's it.
You're out?
That's all I wanted to do was just to play with those, and now
you can. You can. If you have... If there's colorless lands in here, you can use
but
them.
But not 17 of them.
No, there's not. I mean, that would be very strange.
I just open a pack and it's just all Waste?
It would be, you'd probably have a horrible deck because you would have no good cards.
I will say, to answer your question truthfully, I have never played green.
It's Megan!
Hi, Megan. I've never played green in a pre-release. And if I open a Nissa, I will play green today, I promise.
Okay, I was just handed my pre-release box.
Delightful.
From the store manager.
Can I have your wastes?
Nicholas, don't collude with me. This is collusion.
I'm sorry, is it, do I get a game loss for that?
Yes.
Okay.
You get I'm DQ'd. You're all the way out.
Oh, I'm all the way out? Do I get to keep this or do I have to surrender it?
I'll take that. Collusion is like treason, man. You just like
It's death?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Punishable by death?
Punishable by death. Right. I really wish we hadn't had it on camera, but...
The first Magic the Amateuring execution. So, I'm sitting here. I'm done with the pre-release. I went 3-1. Pretty good. Megan's behind me, still playing. And I just want to take this moment to talk about how it went. And I think it went pretty well for me. And I want to share some of the all-stars of my deck. Number one all-star, Inverter of Truth. This little fellow is the real deal. And I know when you cast him, you might be terrified because you need to exile your entire library and just have your graveyard be your library. Turns out that if you cast him later in the game with at least like 5 cards in your graveyard, you're probably going to win. Unless, of course, your opponent has bounce or locks it down with that ice card that encases them in some kind of strange ice. Containment, something or other. Anyway, it's blue. Next up, all-star, Prophet of Distortion. So I had 3 wastes in my sealed pool, which is extremely good, and some other ways to make scions so that I could sack the colorless mana. Anyway, this guy drew me so many cards. Worth it. If you don't have any colorless mana source, obviously not worth it, but if you do, play it. Next, all-star, Thought Harvester. Megan's done! This guy is just straight up good.
You think you get your own 1 minute, 20 second segment by yourself? You just get to have like Maria's show for
what?
A minute?
You were playing?
You had like a Maria show for a minute? No. No. Whatever.
And we're back.
Hey, everybody. Those were some fun interviews from the pre-release.
I'm sorry Megan stopped my final video short because she was getting sassy.
I'm sorry Maria thought it was okay to just run around recording segments without me.
Well, you know what, Megan? Maybe you should play faster.
I did play fast.
That hits close to home for Megan.
It does. I answered the question.
Okay.
As marsupials, female koalas have pouches where their young stay until fully developed. Unlike kangaroo pouches, which open towards the top, koala pouches are located towards the bottom of their bodies and open outward.
What does that mean? Like
that's
a door?
That's exactly my question.
Like a furry flesh door?
Don't ever say that again.
Oh, God.
We need to find a video of this probably, right?
Of a koala pouch?
Yes, we super do.
I don't want to Google that.
Oh, you have to. Koala just YouTube it. Koala pouch. Yeah. Hold on. There's some images here, but... there's koalas in all of these pouches, which is really impeding me seeing how they function.
Okay, koala pouch.
Okay.
Here's one with a baby.
Aw, Brian, can you find it?
It was the first hit, literally, when I Googled, when I YouTube koala pouch.
Just insert this. Insert it here.
Apparently, there's a baby in this pouch of this koala that they're looking at in this video, but I don't see it. Let's skip ahead. Where is this baby? Oh, there it is. See, it's kind of like...
oh, yeah. But what does it mean, open outward?
I don't know. These people are really stalking this koala. That koala is a
this
dirty
koala
butt.
Is... I was going to say it's like understandably upset.
Well, yeah. It's like we're like the paparazzi coming at this thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sick.
Okay. Well, I think, we've seen enough.
Nope. Look at this one. It's the second one down. It looks so gross. Ew.
Why are we watching this?
You specifically needed help with this, Megan.
What? I said
look
not...
at it. There it is. That's how it opens outward.
So it's like a...
oh, my God.
That's disturbing. All right, well,
it's like
I'm
a poop.
That we...
it's like a poop shoot, except a baby is in it.
Are we going to cut this part out?
Nope, that's staying in the show.
Why? We literally just had like 3 minutes of us looking koala videos that no one else can see.
Well, if you come to Tolarian Community College's page, you can watch some of these koala videos as well.
Is that a promise? We're going to make the professor put
edit
in a
these
video?
Into the. No, you can search koala pouch on YouTube and you will find what we're talking
then
about.
Why do we have that section in there?
Because, Megan, I want everyone to know how wrong you were.
Look, I admitted that I was wrong. I'm saying we can have the section where I was wrong.
Anyway.
Well, everybody.
Pre-release.
I'm having a great day.
Okay, Megan. Since you're having such a bad day, do you want to talk first about your deck?
I said I'm having a great day.
Oh, I thought that was sarcastic, the way you said it.
It was.
Okay.
Sure. I opened a pool that had really crazy black removal. I had Ruinous Path and Demon's Grasp and Tar Snare and Grasp of Darkness.
Wow.
So I was like, heck yes, I'm playing black. I also had a rare in Dread Defiler.
That card's great.
Yeah, 6 and a black for a 6/8. And you can pay 3 and a colorless to exile a creature card from your graveyard. Target opponent loses life equal to the exiled card's power. So that was pretty
sweet. Did you ever defile anybody like that? I mean, I don't know what verb you would use.
Yes.
You defiled?
Yeah.
For how much? What was your biggest defiling?
I only like 4.
Oh, okay.
Only like 4. I didn't have a lot of really big creatures.
Cool.
I also had a problem, Maria, where I opened no wastes.
Yeah, that's a story of the weekend. You know, people coming up to me saying, I have all these sweet colorless creatures, no wastes in my pool. That's not going to be the last time we hear of this, as long as PPTQs are happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say as long as any sealed events are happening.
Yeah, it's going to be the great tragedy of the world,
exactly.
I think.
Exactly. I did have, like, I had a couple of Hedron Crawlers, but that's a pretty big sacrifice, you know?
It really is.
To play these little O2 creatures just as a way to get this mana in there.
You have Corrupted Crossroads.
That's true. I do have... I had that, and I had a Crumbling Vestige and a Kozilek Translator as ways to make color specifically.
You didn't
colorless
play them
mana.
This
the
Crossroads.
Corrupted Crossroads, no. Because I only wanted to play the Crumbling Vestige because I had pretty heavy black and white mana,
you know,
requirements.
What card I like? Crumbling Vestige.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's great.
It is pretty great.
It's like essentially not a drawback.
No, it's super cool. Like it comes into play tapped, but you're adding a mana of a color to your mana pool when it happens. So it's super cool.
Yeah, I love that card.
Yes, I also opened a Nissa, Voice of Zendikar.
Oh, Nissa joined the party.
Yes. But having been burned so bad on green in BFC, I didn't play green, which I don't know if it was correct or incorrect. I ended up playing white.
Okay, let me see what your green would look like.
I also had a Planar Outburst.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, and I kind of needed some win conditions. I only really had that 6.
Oh, my gosh. This blue is sick. Too bad you can play it. There's not a lot of it, but you had 2 Sky Spawners.
I know. There's so little of it, though.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I ended up going with white and having, like, a very, like, allied-themed deck. I also had Malakir Soothsayer, which I never got to draw a card with because my opponents always killed it on sight.
Yeah. I imagine so. Your green is, you don't have a ton of green.
And I gained a ton of life with my Undo War Cleric and some Vampire Envoys, which was a lot of fun. I had a Cliffhaven Vampire. So we had some flying. We had some life gain. It was all right. It was pretty slow and grindy sometimes.
Yeah. How did you like the set when you were there playing at the pre-release? What did you think?
You know, I don't know that I liked it as much as Triple Battle for Zendikar.
And Sealed?
In Sealed, yeah.
Here's where I'm going to put a thought down your throat. I'm sorry I said it like that.
Yep.
Here's my opinion. I feel like Battle for Zendikar was very synergistic, right? Mm-hmm. And so it made for a pretty good draft where you could draft black-white allies. And that was a really fun deck. I think that it was not a super great Sealed environment format because it was so synergistic. So
yeah.
I had a lot of trouble. I mean, more trouble than you, you know, obviously, in Sealed. I did not have a good win record whatsoever, Battle for Zendikar Sealed, when I went to PTQs, which may have something to do with it. But I don't know. I just felt like it wasn't super great. And so I was happy to get away from an environment that wasn't, like, so, you know, requiring these synergies.
Yeah.
But maybe that's just because I didn't do very well at it. I thought this played better than Battle for Zendikar Sealed. However, that's not to say there wasn't a problem with the wastes if you didn't have them in your pool.
And I think that's kind of where my opinion is coming from, is that I had these, like, sweet cards, especially in blue, like you were saying, like, my blue is good, but I had 2 different blue cards that were really only good if you could reliably produce colorless mana.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my deck just also couldn't do that. And so the fact that there were cards that I couldn't play specifically because I didn't open the support for them, and it wasn't like a small number of cards, right? Sometimes it's like, oh man, I opened, you know, a planeswalker, but I have no other cards in that color. Like Nissa, it's like, oh, that's fine, I get it. Sometimes I can't play like a planeswalker. You can't play your bomb because you have nothing else in that color. But the fact that there was like a whole set of cards in my pool that I couldn't even really consider seriously playing because...
Felt a little bad, huh?
Exactly. And it was just sort of... And I feel like having read a couple of other stories like that from the weekend, or like heard a couple of other stories like that, it does seem to me that it's like, I don't know how balanced... Like for... I feel like it's the same kind of situation with synergy as you had for Battle for Zendikar, where it works out well in draft. Again, the waste thing, it will probably be okay in draft, because if you're drafting those cards, you're going to really prioritize wastes. But if you open them in your sealed pool and you don't open reliable ways to produce colorless mana, it's like you're just kind of screwed and you just can't play those cards.
Correct. However, so. They only one kind of deck wants the wastes, really.
I disagree, because I think that there's lots of, like I said, like you were looking at these, so I had like these cards like Gravity Negator, which is a 3 and a blue for a 2/3 flying, which is like,
I play that.
It's fine, but really what you're playing it for is this: when Gravity Negator attacks, you may pay colorless. If you do, another target creature gains flying until end of turn.
Yeah.
The fact that because, like, if this card is in my pool and in someone else's pool, and it might just be so much better in their pool if they open the mana to support it, doesn't feel...
Let me tell you something about this card.
Great.
I had this card in my sealed deck, and I played it. Mm-hmm. And I also played it in a friendly draft that I did as well.
Yeah.
I never once activated its ability in any game.
Fair enough.
So I think maybe perhaps my deck was like... I think both my decks were really strong. But I never activated it, and I didn't feel bad about playing it.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was strong enough. Like, in sealed, flyers are strong, period. That's just the way it is.
Again, like I said, it's a strong card. But the fact that, like, its strength depends on opening a land type...
Yeah.
...feels weird to me.
Sure. Sure. I guess we're going to have to see how this plays out.
Yeah, definitely.
Perhaps we'll get burned and not have any waste in some of our pools at a pre-TQ, and then I'll be like, screw this. But
and then you'll see where I'm coming from. You're not gonna... I didn't open a single one.
Yeah, that's unusual, I think, but sad. Yeah. So in my pool, you'll see where I'm coming from. I had three wastes. And I probably had other ways to make waste as well. There is a blue creature that taps for a waste. I had a couple of him, and of course he drawn crawler, which I don't think is a great card. And I took him out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I just didn't love him. The all-star of my deck, however, which was a blue black waste Eldrazi deck, which I do consider to be three colors.
Yeah.
Was a gravity negator. Sorry. Inverter of Truth, which I talked a little bit about in those interviews that we did earlier, which I think is one of my favorite design cards that I've ever seen come out of R&D, because when you play it, you just feel terrible. And I think that's how you should feel when you play a card like that. I mean, you're taking an enormous risk. In two games, I thought, I'm going to play this, because if I don't play this, I'm going to die. So I have four cards in my graveyard. Might as well. And I did, and I won two of those games because of Inverter of Truth. And then one game I played it, and it got iced down with Containment Membrane. And I was like, ugh. But that's exactly how I should feel, right? It's a huge gamble. And anyway, I love that card.
Yeah, super interesting, for sure.
I mean, yeah, my deck was pretty insane. I had two Oblivion Strikes, which is just basically 4-mana kill anything.
Oh, it's amazing. I had one Oblivion Strike in my deck, and it was just so great. Only great.
Always take it. It's only great.
Yeah.
Prophet of Distortion, which is one, if you have enough waste to activate it, you can draw cards, right? No. I'm getting these mixed up. Thought Harvester and Prophet of Distortion. One second.
Yeah.
Thought Harvest. Okay, so Thought Harvester is the 2/4 flyer.
Yeah.
That's basically it. It processes whenever I cast a colorless spell, basically. Pretty good. It's a 2/4 flyer. Flyers are good and sealed. It can block basically anything. And it has a little bonus for you if you really want.
Ooh. And
Prophet of Distortion. Yeah, that's 3 and a waste draw card. And it's got one. It's 1 blue for a 1/2 to void. So
that card. Yeah, that card was very good.
Clutch. Don't obviously play it if you don't have any way to activate the waste on it. But if you do, that card was amazing. As well as Seer's Lantern. I really like Seer's Lantern. I had that as well.
Oh, I agree.
To produce waste, and then you just scry if you're, you know, just hanging out. So it's ramp, produce waste, scry if you need to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
That deck was great.
So I feel like Prophet of Distortion is, again, it kind of falls into the cards that I was talking about, where it's like, right, you open it and it's great in your pool because you have ways to produce colorless. But from, like, if it was in my pool, I'd be like, well, I wish I could play this card.
Yeah. Mm-mm. The tapper as well, the 1/3 tapper for a waste, you can tap anything.
Yeah.
That guy obviously also insane if you have enough waste to turn it on. Yeah. I did not have that in my sealed pool, but I had him in draft and he was an all-star, obviously. So my second deck was green, white, colorless, again, which I consider three colors. Netcaster Spider was actually the all-star for me.
Very nice.
In that deck, because flyers, 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 it kills almost any flyer.
Yeah, it totally does, because it goes up to a 4/3 if it's blocking a flyer, and that is pretty big.
And that's pretty good. So Netcaster Spider, I also played a mono Eldrazi deck in draft, and basically I had the armor that gives, what is it called? I can't remember. It's the armor, and it gives +1/+1 for every creature card that shares a creature type with it.
Yeah.
And it's equipped 2. It costs 1 to cast. And basically, I tweeted this out, but it's, what did I call it?
You called it Cranial Plating.
Yeah, it's Cranial Plating. Stoneforge Masterwork, Cranial Plating. Oh, yeah. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
Full stop. Played an Allies deck.
It's a rare, right?
It's a rare.
Yeah.
If you see it.
It's pretty crazy.
It was my pack one, pick one. And I was like, let's do this. Nice. I have no idea if this card's any good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Turns out, insane. Of course, you have to build around it. But what are they going to do? It's they have to, like, kill everything, which I guess is planar uppers, but whatever.
Absolutely. Just to, like, distill down, because I feel like as you're attacking, my brain is slowly filtering all of these thoughts. I guess what, like, the more that we've talked about our pools and you've talked about yours, I guess, like, the general sense that I'm feeling, like, my point of trepidation so far is that it just feels like the power level in a pool that can reliably produce waste is so much higher than the general power level of a pool that can't.
Interesting.
Because there are so many activated abilities with it, and there are so many quality cards with it, that if you have two pools that are completely identical card for card, except one is has 3 times as many ways to produce colorless mana as the other, or it's just much more reliable in producing colorless mana, it's just going to have such a higher power level.
However, it's also going to be more variable because you're playing three colors.
I mean, unless you build it, I mean, you know, like one color in waste or one color in colorless or something.
Yeah,
like
if you're able to build one color in a waste, that would be pretty sick, I think. I was thinking about this as well because I was wondering, this is the way I was thinking of it, which was a little backwards from the way you were thinking of it, which was if I have enough creatures that produced waste or whatever, and I have to build a two color pool as you normally do in sealed, well, you're probably not going to have enough cards in one color to just build a color and then waste. You know, color, like green and colorless. I don't see that to be the, I don't think that would be the case. You'd have to be pretty lucky. But my question was, is my risk worth the reward of playing three colors? Because playing three colors is going to be rough no matter what. Sure, there's ways to smooth it out because there are creatures that produce colorless mana. There's things like Seer's Lantern out there. So I think
there's Evolving Wilds.
You know, Evolving
set,
Wilds.
Which can also fetch wastes.
It's better than it would be, I think. Yeah. In a lot of sets. There's dual lands hanging around as well. My question was, like, is it worth it for me to play three colors? Are these colorless creatures offering me enough of an incentive to play my colorless that the payoff is big enough?
Well, and I think what it comes down to is there have definitely been sets in the past, right? It depends on sets. Khans of Tarkir, the answer to that question was always, almost always, yes, in a sealed environment. Yep. And so I guess this feels to me like one where the sealed environment answer to do I play three colors, in this case, one of the colors being colorless.
Yeah.
It feels like the answer to that question is probably yes.
Yeah, I think it is yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm interested to know how everybody's pre-release went out there. So tweet at us at MTAcast. What was your all-star card? That's what I want to know, because as we begin to draft this set coming up pretty soon, our evaluations are going to get more and more important, what we think about these commons and these uncommons. I found myself when I went and did the draft, like, just kind of thinking, I don't know. Like, how good is this card in sealed is kind of a lot easier to assess than how good is this card in draft.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I want to know, what were your all-stars? What were your all-stars? Did you play Cold Select, The Great Distortion? Tell me all about it. Ooh, tell me
I
want to
hear all about all the cards that you drew.
Megan just wants to know, like, how many cards did you draw?
How many cards did you feel? How did it feel?
Megan, what are you looking to draft when this comes around, when the time comes?
You know, I am still, as we mentioned, I've been in school the past 2 weeks just about. So I have honestly not had a lot of time to look at the full set.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, even at the pre-release, there were cards that people are playing. And I was like, you know what? I've looked over the spoilers as much as I could, but I haven't had time to go through and read all the primers yet, which I really need to do. I mean, I'm excited to see what looks different after BFC. I hope green is draftable.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? You never know.
I think green is better. I don't think it's probably as good as the other colors still, but yeah. I think it's better.
Maybe it's not as miserable as it was.
Yeah, that's all we can hope at this
it's
point.
It's gone from being the goddamn worst to just being like, hey, buddy, you can't sit at the big kids table yet, but we're not going to make you eat in the backyard either.
Whoa. Is that where you had to have Thanksgiving when you were a child?
Yeah.
Get out
yeah.
in the backyard.
I mean, we lived in Texas, so it was warm enough.
I'm sorry, I'm just imagining you like on the concrete, like,
yeah,
eating.
That didn't actually happen.
Oh,
but
okay,
that's
fine. I had a thought and then it went away when I started thinking about you eating sadly in a backyard.
But I would have been eating. I love cranberry sauce. God damn, cranberry sauce is really good.
You're a monster.
What?
I mean, I'll have a little bit of it.
Oh man, I'll eat a lot of cranberry sauce. I bet you that I...
Is that why your hair is purple?
Yeah. Watch out. It's the dangers. But like, equal cranberry sauce to mashed potatoes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's heresy.
What? Says the Church of Potatoes?
I am definitely a card-carrying member of the Church of Potatoes,
Megan. I didn't realize that churches had cards.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Can I see your Lutheran ID?
Your Lutheran ID is just your Subaru. Anyway, this I remember my thought.
Or a hot dish.
Yeah, a hot dish for sure. Which is a casserole to everybody who doesn't know out there. In Minnesota, mm-hmm. we call them hot dishes.
Oh, but you can't call it a casserole. If you call it a casserole, the Lutherans will be like, I don't know you.
You're like, get out.
No, leave.
Your soul is eternally damned. I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do about it. I had a level up moment.
Yes.
So I got to my second pre-release pretty late. They were very nice to let me in and play. And I only had 15 minutes to build my deck.
Oh, shit.
Yep. So I just went to town. I just sat down. I was like tearing things open like, all right, let's do this. But my level up moment was I was remembering back to Khans of Tarkir, which was 3-color, mm-hmm. and building a sealed deck out of those pools. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, I remember having like mild panic attacks trying to build decks, like, and how many colors of mana, like, do I need 4 mountains or is 5 okay, and 6 islands. Ugh! And I was building a 3-color deck, as you did.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, I would consider myself building a 3-color deck as well. But I had taken myself down from like panicking about it to the point where I was like really confident in what I was doing. And I was like, yeah, I think that's the right deck. And doing it in 15 minutes and not freaking out about it. So anyway, I had a level up moment and I recognized it. And I think that's important for everybody to recognize when you kind of move up in your magic deck building or whatever has been giving you trouble over the years. Like, hey, I got better at that. Because sometimes in magic, it can be hard to remember that we're getting better as we play.
Do you feel like there was something that helped you have that moment, like a particular skill or a particular set of state of mind or a particular way of thinking about something?
I think it was probably I always had trouble with thinking how many sources of each color should I be playing.
Yeah.
To reliably be able to have that color when I need it.
Yeah.
And in Khans, I still didn't have a good idea mm-hmm. about that. And in this set, I just felt more confident that I was like, okay, I only have 5 or 6 ways to produce waste. I'm playing 3 creatures that need a colorless mana in order to cast it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably okay. And not like having a brain hemorrhage about it.
Yeah. Nice.
That's awesome. What I would say. So yeah, please share with us your card all-stars from Oath of the Gatewatch pre-release. We want to know if you've played any friendly drafts with the packs that you've won. Let us know how those are going as well, and hopefully we'll get on that and be able to draft some more in this coming week, because this set is so fun. I my initial thoughts, I love it, but then again, I had wasted my pool.
Just wait until it doesn't happen.
Okay, Megan. Magic news!
Hey, everybody. There were some recent bannings in Modern.
Whoa. Megan, hold up.
What?
I thought for sure with me doing that, like, teletype machine, you were going to come out as old-timey newscaster, and you didn't. You really are having a rough day.
Cut.
Take two.
Take two.
Magic news.
Hey there, everybody. It's your favorite friend, old-time newscaster.
I don't know why I asked for
and
this.
And I'm here to tell you, there's been some bannings in Modern.
Oh,
things are topsy-turvy in the deck-building world of Modern right now, because let me tell you about something. Summer Bloom has been banned. That means amulet combos off the table. But, oh my goodness, do you know what's even bigger news?
What?
Extra, read all about it. Splinter Twin is off the table too. It's been cut. It's been chopped. It's been sent on a boat over the Atlantic, which at this time in history doesn't have a particularly good chance of reaching the other side.
So what Megan,
there you go.
Trying to say is,
am I trying? I think I pretty competently said it.
Splinter Twin, banned.
Mm-hmm.
Summer Bloom, banned.
And like I mentioned, that means that Amulet is off the Amulet Bloom. Or
people,
Bloom Titan.
You know, you can still play Bloom Titan. You just are calling it Titan now.
Well, the Summer Bloom is what let you play things so early.
Right.
Because it's the card that let you play three lands in a turn. And, you know, Azusa Lost But Seeking will let you play an extra land. But it's, you know, it's on turn three. It's not the same acceleration as three lands at all. It's a creature, so it's much weaker to creature-based removal. So, yeah, I mean, it looks like curtains for that deck.
I don't know. I'm interested in if people still play it. Like, it'll be way worse, but
it
I guess...
Way
it's
worse.
Technically still a deck. One deck we know for sure that is not going to be around anymore is Splinter Twin.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's not going to have the Splinter Twin combo piece anymore because Splinter Twin is itself banned. But I was actually playing online last night, and I played a deck that was just Grixis control.
Yeah.
It was black, blue, red control. And in a lot of ways, a lot of Splinter Twin decks were or would sideboard into just a very blue-red controlling deck that happened to have sometimes this combo win piece. And in place of that, the Grixis decks have something like Tasigur or Gurmag Angler, of all things, in there. So I don't know that, you know, I don't know that we're going to see the end to those decks because that deck was still very
strong. Yeah, it was pretty
good. And it just, it was nice that it had this way to sometimes win on turn four, if it could.
So a lot of people were upset by these bans, which were leaked a little early, but the reason for that was a few reasons actually. We just recently had a GP or an SCG Modern event, and I believe the Splinter Twin deck was 9% of the format.
9.3%.
9.3% of the field, which is quite large.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's a good deck.
Yeah.
And people thought that it wasn't an unfair deck. You know, like some people think that Amulet Bloom was really unfair. I agree with that after playing some Modern online and practicing with Tron. And sometimes you just, there's, it's like just wins on turn one and you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do think that, you know, Birthing Pod, the ban for Birthing Pod came down, I think about a year ago now, right?
Yeah.
And
people were upset about that too.
Exactly. And for me, it's not that, and Splinter Twin was, you know, in all, it wasn't unfair the way that Amulet Bloom was unfair, but Birthing Pod also wasn't unfair. But if you looked at Grand Prix results. And I'm not saying that you look at one Grand Prix result, right? You can look through Grand Prix results over the past year and find one Grand Prix where maybe there was only one Splinter Twin deck in the top eight. But at the same time, you can look at multiple Grand Prix where there were four of them,
right?
Four copies in the top eight. And Birthing Pod decks had the same dominance over the format. And especially if you consider that Splinter Twin was only 9% of the field, for it to be 50% of some top eights, I think it was just kind of absurd in the way that Birthing Pod was absurd.
Another reason people were upset was because Splinter Twin was just recently reprinted in Modern Masters 2. And so a lot of people had stocked up on them. And
some false confidence.
False confidence there. Absolutely. So, yeah, I understand it completely. However, yeah. I do think it's a good thing for Modern to get more diversity. Hopefully that happens because of this. You know, it's not guaranteed to happen by any means. Maybe some other decks just take over and become the new Splinter Twin or the new Birthing Pod.
Yeah.
But
like I said, I think that in some way, I don't know that it's right in the wake of the Birthing Pod ban. For a while, it's sort of like, yeah, that deck disappeared. But then sort of other green-white value creature decks resurfaced. There's like some collected company decks.
Right.
Which are kind of in the wake of that, that might not have happened had Birthing Pod never been banned. And I wonder after, especially after playing against like this, again, this Grixis control deck last night, that it's sort of like, and I think is Wizard's intent, that it just gives people room to build.
Yeah.
And sure, it's going to make some people upset when they went and bought out Deceiver Exarchs for way more money than you should spend for a 1/4 with Flash. but at the same time, you know, one, I think that there's a lot of cards in that deck that are not going to lose value. You know, your Lightning Bolts are not going to lose value. Your Snapcaster Mages are not going to lose value because so many decks play them. It's a really strong card, and there is still a blue-red control deck out there. And I think, you know, especially when the Pro Tour comes around, like, I wouldn't be surprised if we see some really strong blue-red, maybe blue-red X decks hit in the field.
I'm really excited for the Pro Tour. I want to see people build new things. I mean, I always say that on this show, and I'm always looking for people to innovate and have new decks, and I think Standard right now has left me a little bit sleepy. So I'm really excited to see what they do with Modern and with this ban ahead of the Pro Tour. Maybe we'll get to see some really interesting innovations. Maybe we'll see some Eldrazi decks. I know that Black Eldrazi have been a thing in Modern. I'm wondering if perhaps there's another kind of Eldrazi build out there that's going to sort of take the forefront. I don't know. I'm really excited to see what's new.
I'm really excited to see some Lantern Control.
Oh boy, you guys. All right. So
that's
we've been playing.
That I was playing last night.
Megan
I love
and I
it.
Have been playing some Modern in anticipation of this Pro Tour. We were lent some decks online by a very nice listener. Mm-hmm. Megan is sitting here dreaming of Lantern Control because
really
that's what
am.
She's playing, and it's just terrible.
It's beautiful. It's amazing. I haven't been this in love since Sphinx's Revelation.
We did talk about Lantern Control on a previous show. Basically, you make it so your opponent can literally do nothing.
Oh my goodness, it was so amazing. The last person I played was like a mentor burn, like red white monastery mentor burn, and like they got me to one. But I had at that point I had no cards in hand and an Ensnaring Bridge out, and they had no cards, and they had like so many creatures, Maria. They had so many creatures, but I had the lock on.
Yeah,
I had the lock, and at some point I just got out like enough Codex Shredders and Ghoul Collar Bells that it was like,
there's no
you're
way you're
never
coming
drawing
back.
Burn. Like you're never gonna draw it because I can make sure that it never happens. It was beautiful.
You're really a terrible beautiful. Person. I've been playing Tron, which I mentioned earlier, and it's really fun. And a lot of people are thinking, oh, maybe Tron will get kind of a boost from these bans. Yeah. And I think Tron is a good deck. It does some really unfair things, like casting Karn off of 3 mana. However, it's not easy to assemble.
Yeah.
Sure, if it's in your opening hand, but the likelihood of that is not super great, and it's only happened to me once. And even if it is in your opening hand, you're not guaranteed to have those lands stick around thanks to things like Ghost Quarter and other things that blow up your land. So, I really enjoy it, and I think it's just fragile enough.
Twin was one of the decks that played Blood Moon, actually.
Yeah.
Which is one of the prominent decks, which also made it very good. I wonder if in part sort of what inspired the Amulet Bloom ban was the fact that they were banning Splinter Twin, because that was one of the decks that notoriously could do very well against it because they played Blood Moons and Blood Moon Rex Amulet Bloom.
Yeah, yeah. Blood Moon Rex a lot of decks.
Yes, same for Tron.
For Tron,
so, which I think is why people might wonder if it gets a little boost. Because like the Grixis control deck can't necessarily play Blood Moon because it's relying on a lot more non-basics.
Do you know something I learned?
Sure.
There's a Blood Moon on a creature.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that until the other day.
Mages of the Moon?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 2 and a red for a 2/2.
Yep.
All your non-basics are mountains.
Sad. It was a sad day when I saw that guy.
The thought that I was having earlier when you mentioned selling your card for $60.
Yeah.
That beautiful foil.
I know. It was insane.
Is that I haven't traded them away yet because I just keep sitting on them. But right now, the 2 expeditions that I opened, I could trade away on Puka Trade and literally get like almost the entirety of Lantern Control.
Are you going to do it, Megan?
I don't know. Like, I don't know when to trade away these expeditions because so far they've only gone up.
But when is there a deck you want to play? Like, when are you going to say it's worth it to me that I want to play this deck?
No, but I'm saying like right now this, I have a Polluted Delta and a Hollowed Fountain.
Yeah.
And when I first added, like, I just, like, you know, put it on there so that I could look at the how much it's worth. When I first put it on, it was about 200 points.
Yeah.
Or, you know, $200.
Yeah.
However many points that translates into. I think it's, like, 20,000 points because it's 2 extra 0s. Anyways, it was, like, 200. It's now 268.
Wow.
And Hallowed Fountain, when I put it on, that was only, like, 4 weeks ago. Not even, maybe.
No.
Was 60 and now it's like 86. Whoa. So I just don't know when. If you have any place to refer us for speculation on expeditions, I would love to read it because I just don't know how long to hold on to these suckers.
Yeah, I mean,
the answer is I'm going to hold on to them until I get the most out of them.
Until they become a Black Lotus.
And you know, it's like the way that you make coal or diamonds.
Yeah.
Is you just apply enough heat and pressure over time and it becomes a black lotus. Go try it with your expeditions, ladies and gentlemen.
I just wanted to quickly mention when I talked about earlier in the show Standard, and I might be getting interested in playing for basically the first time in my life, Magic life, was because of this deck that Patrick Chapin posted on SCG, and it's completely colorless.
I'm
very excited because I've been hoping for like a really cool, different Eldrazi colorless deck for a long time now, and that's exactly what this is. And it's very similar to the budget Eldrazi deck that I talked about playing in other shows. Mm-hmm. That is Red Black. So this deck is the same kind of concept. You play Hangerback Walker and Endless One, and you play them very early on, and then you just slap a Ghost Fire Blade on them and go to town.
Yeah, very cool.
So I love this list that he's put together. I want to wait just a tiny bit to see how good it turns out to be before I super invest, but yeah, this list, I believe Frank Karsten also produced a black and colorless deck on Channel Fireball, so I'm kind of watching this to see what happens. I wrote about this in an article that's going to be coming up. You can find it on dailymtg.com about these kind of crazy decks that people are building in advance of the very first Friday Night Magic after OGW's been released.
My goodness, very exciting.
Speaking of articles, you can find both Megan's and mine first Daily MTG articles on dailymtg.com right now. Megan's about pre-release stories. We mentioned it in an earlier show. Single tier, some of them are really sweet. And I wrote about release day stories.
Mm-hmm.
So also another tearjerker story. So go and check it out. You'll also see a really disturbing picture of me as Bob Ross.
Wonderful.
It's just a plug for you there. Try not to scream when you see it. Flavortext Theater presents Movie Bitches.
Aw, snap.
We are cracking a pack of Oath of the Gatewatch. Ooh, that new card. Smell. Super new, actually.
Speaking of smells, your cat smelled. Just letting you know.
Thank you.
For those of you watching the video,
this cat smells.
Was just sitting on my lap, and he smells.
Oh, God, he does.
I told you. Like, you didn't believe
me. Why does he smell so bad?
I don't know. Your cat smells really bad, though.
He was, go clean yourself. You disgust me. Okay, so we're going to pick up some of these cards at random and make up some movie pitches and pitch them to you and hopefully make some great cinema.
Ooh, I've got one for you.
Okay, go ahead.
This is like, it's a classic World War II fighter pilot drama.
Ooh.
It's basically like a remake of Pearl Harbor or what's that other one? There's another one, right?
Tora.
I don't think so.
That's
but sure.
old. That's an old one.
All right. So it's about, right, it's just, and this allied pilot is able to takes down so many of the Axis planes just over and over again. And he's like the scourge of the skies.
Ooh.
And, you know, it's about like their pursuit of him. And finally, at the very end, like he does get captured. And you're left wondering, did he survive the war?
Oh.
Who knows? But you have to find out by watching Sky Scourer.
Great film.
Yeah.
This one is kind of, it's like a religious propaganda film.
Okay.
It stars Saint Peter as himself, and what's happening is Satan's armies have like managed to get their way into heaven. You uh-huh. know, like they've tricked dear old Saint Peter. They've dressed up as good people from Earth and like we're here in heaven, mm-hmm. and their forces like slowly infiltrate,
yeah.
getting in. And sooner or later, somebody's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! Peeps are getting murdered. People are doing, you know, crack off of hookers. There's bad guys up here.
Wow,
this is not how it's supposed to be."
Yeah.
Well, good news. They also, by the way, in the process of this, trap Peter. They tie him up with some ropes somewhere.
Okay.
In heaven.
Yeah.
And someone's like, oh my God, all these bad people are getting in. Hold on, somebody call the gate watch.
Oh my God.
Call the gate
worst
watch.
Rare.
Call, yeah, it's terrible.
You know, and that answers my question that I've always had, which is, can you be tied up with ropes in heaven?
Yes,
the answer apparently yes, is yes. All right. This is like, you know, that movie that came out that was based on the book Wild about like the
yeah.
woman who like hiked the Appalachian Trail or whatever, finding herself. It's kind of like a cross between that and Into Thin Air.
Ah.
It's like but with way less people dying.
Okay.
It's like a finding yourself while mountain climbing.
Oh, nice.
You know, drama of sorts, like personal drama. It's just called Mountain.
Mine is a TV show,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be controversial because it's coming back and it's hosted by Paula Deen.
Ooh,
here's the crazy part, though.
Okay.
Paula Deen has lost 300 pounds. I don't know what weight she's going to be at.
I think that would make her like negative something.
Okay. Well, she lost a lot of weight.
Okay.
And she's cooking healthy this time around. She's not cooking with her signature butter, butter, butter.
Okay.
No, the name
or
of
racism.
This, or racism. The name of this new program is called Searing Light. She makes a lot of fish.
That's nice. Nice. Very nice.
Canceled immediately.
Okay. Mine is a pitch. It's, you know, in the vein of like Sherlock's been really popular.
Yeah.
Or whatever that other one is that's also on television that's about Sherlock. But in this it's Watson is tired of just being the underdog constantly to this genius. And he's like, can nobody notice that this man could not function on his own if it were not for me?
Yeah, that's true.
And he basically takes over and he turns their lives around and he becomes like the one who's in charge.
Ooh.
It's called Elemental Uprising.
That's definitely the best one I've ever heard and my new favorite. All right. This one is about a car, used car salesman.
Uh-huh.
And he's just kind of bad at his job. You know, mm-hmm. it's like the beginning of Fargo. Like he's kind of trodden upon. Everybody mm-hmm. walks all over this guy. He can't sell any cars.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, Emrah Cool shows up. This is a magic crossover.
Oh.
And is like, let me help you out. Through her, you know, spaghetti mouth. Let me help you out. And she calls Kozluck in.
She's played by Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
Even though she's a she.
Kozluck comes in and is like, okay, I will help you sell cars. And the guy's like, oh my God, okay, sure. How are you going to help me? He's like, just sell one model, like specialize in something. And he's like, oh, okay, well, that's pretty weird, you know. He's like, No, you'll become an expert at selling this one car. And the guy's like, okay, fine. Well, Kozluck eats him, obviously, but he decides to keep taking over the business. And it's called Kozluck's Pathfinder. Because he only sells Pathfinders. Yep.
Oh, jeez. Yep.
It's a terrible movie.
This is a rom-com about who else? Mathematicians. It's about a bunch of, like, you know, like, university, like, PhD level mathematicians who are in the middle of, like
I'd watch that.
It's these two mathematicians, like, bump into each other at a math conference. And it's a man and a woman, and they meet and they're like really attracted to one another, but then they fly back to their different respective universities.
Yeah.
And they're probably two universities that are at odds with each other. Right. So we'll just say Harvard and Stanford. Are they at odds? I just created that rivalry.
I don't know.
Whatever. It exists now. Okay. They're rivals. And the guy's at Stanford and he meets another Stanford, woman, and he like kind of falls in love with her, but you realize that she's actually like kind of a terrible person. And the whole time you're like, no. Hold out for that other lady you actually liked, but they end up getting like engaged.
Oh,
but then
no.
He goes to another math conference, and while he's away, his fiance is cheating on him.
Yeah.
And he bumps into that first mathematician again.
This is great.
And he's like, oh my god, this is the person I should be with. And he discovers that his fiance was cheating on him.
Yeah, of course.
It's called comparative analysis.
I was like, why are they mathematicians? Okay, it came all around at the end. All right,
nailed
I've got
it.
Another rom-com for you.
Oh, let me hear it.
So this is a rom-com about a business, and it's a lady who's running it because she's had to break up with so many people in her life. Mm-hmm. Like, she's had a lot of horrible guys who have been just assholes to her, and she's just done with it. So she starts a business. Well,
yeah.
She will break up with your significant other for you.
Ooh.
Okay?
Yeah.
And, of course, she, like, meets the love of her life while she's doing this, and she has
yeah.
to, and you know, break up with, you know, it's not the, okay, how does
it It's
work?
Not the person who hires
right.
her. It's the person that she's breaking
correct,
up with.
Correct. Yep. But eventually, you know, that person finds
this.
Out.
I just want to say that.
I mean, yeah, he finds out that she
yeah.
was the one who did it. You know, and of course, he's like feeling betrayed and mad. And he's like, oh, no. But her specialty is that she like breaks up with them super fast. Like, that's
yeah.
the deal. And so that was it. And they're never going to see each other ever again. Of course, somehow they meet when she starts her new business about getting people together very quickly.
Aww.
So, yeah, first it was
this is a real movie.
I think it actually
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it actually is.
So first she broke up with people really fast. Now she gets people together really fast. She's like some
yeah.
speed dating thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's called Expedite.
I'm writing this motherfucker.
Call me Warner Brothers.
Oh, we're gonna make $1 million. Okay, I have a high school dramedy for you.
Ooh, okay.
Along the lines of like, I guess Easy A was mostly a comedy. It was hilarious though.
Really?
Have you ever seen it?
I didn't see it.
Oh my god, Maria, we have to watch it. It's
okay.
Really great. So anyways, and it's about a girl who like is her life is just not together, and to be fair, it's not her fault. Like her parents are like not together at all. Her mom is constantly traveling for work. Her dad is a like just terrible of like keeping their home life together. Everything's a wreck, and she never has any clean laundry, and she like goes to school one day and she's not wearing any underwear because she doesn't have any clean underwear. And she, while she's wearing, she's in high school.
Okay.
Yeah, she's like a senior in high school, right? And she ends up getting, she gets a little bit picked on at school because she doesn't have it together. So while she's at school, she gets pantsed. But of course, she's not wearing any underwear. But you know what? She uses the momentum from that to make herself infamous and to turn her life around.
Yeah.
So instead of being like cheerleader popular, she's like underground popular.
Cool.
Being super alt and telling people about how kick-ass she is. It's called Zada's Commando.
Oh my god, these movies are some of our best work.
Yes, it really is. Well, you know, a new set is so energizing for the creative mind.
I agree. Well, everybody, that's our show for this week. Thanks for listening. And like we mentioned, we want to hear your pre-release stories. Please tweet at us at MTAcast. Do you have a good movie for Gift of Tusks? I thought of one, but it wasn't super great, so I didn't say it. Maybe
nice.
You have a better one. Send
Absolutely.
Us a tweet. In 140 characters or less, it'll be like a game of Balderdash.
120.
Really?
Isn't it?
I don't know.
Who knows, you guys? Try 140, and if it cuts you off, keep then typing, you know, as if done. It didn't.
Did you hear that Twitter, like, maybe it was a rumor that's been debunked, but they're like, oh, we're going to allow 1 million characters or whatever.
What? I thought it was like 10,000.
Yeah.
I did hear that. I don't know if it's true, because it sounds like a really stupid idea.
I hope it's not true. It'd be the worst.
Who knows?
I read a book on Twitter.
Should we Snopes it?
Yeah, Snopes it right now. Right. While you're doing that, I'm going to tell you to go to Tolarian Community College on YouTube and check out this video. We're not only an audio podcast, we're also a video podcast. So you can watch video of this as well as thousands, that's not true, lots of videos from the professor, including a collaboration with our good friends over at the Command Zone. They made a great new series of comedy videos, and they're really funny and awesome and amazingly edited because, yeah, they're like for real, you guys. Yeah. And I just love them. So go over there and check them out. That's a plug. Check out Megan and my articles on dailymtg.com. We're super honored to be writing for the mothership. So we would love it if you'd read and share if you like them. Let us know what you think, actually. I would be interested to hear your feedback. It's my first time being a columnist, so I'd like to know what you think. You can shoot us an email, magictheamateuring@gmail.com. If you have an idea for a column that you haven't seen in the magic world, let us know about it, and we can pitch it, and, you know, maybe you'll read about it in the future.
Has anyone ever snopesed Snopes?
Like, maybe Snopes is just a big
like, what if you lie. Typed Snopes into Snopes' search bar just to see, and they were just like, Snopes is not real.
That would be the best.
That would be surprisingly meta.
Oh, Snopes. I hope that's what happens.
Oh, if you're a programmer for them.
That'd be so funny.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Other things we have to tell you about are Patreon. Patreon.com/MTAcast. Go there and support the show. You can get free gifts like stickers, wristbands, t-shirts, playmats, which, by the way, will be printed pretty soon, within the next month. So anybody who's pledged at $10 and is waiting for their playmat and t-shirt, we wanted to ship them out at the same time for you. So you will be getting them sometime in the near future. They're going to be awesome, and they're also going to be for sale on magictheamateuring.com. Our t-shirts are already for sale there, and we're about to have a 3X size for gentlemen, so that'll be coming up. Watch the Twitter for that. Or yeah. So I mean, we've got all the sizes coming at you.
Absolutely.
In the near future.
Well, it's not on Snopes. Oh, so I think it's considering it.
Okay.
Anyways, it's apparently about trying to compete with Facebook.
Ugh, no.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna use Twitter like Facebook.
I know, right? I would never.
Mm-mm. I wouldn't use Twitter if it wasn't for magic. So Twitter should really be paying magic.
Yeah, they really
should.
In
my opinion. Anyway.
All right, everybody.
That's our show.
It might be happening.
Who knows? Look up some koala pouch video if you really want to go to bed disturbed tonight.
It's weird.
It's like those birthing videos you had to watch in middle school. You'll never be the same.
I don't think I had to watch those.
Oh, you're lucky.
I do feel lucky.
Well, my stinky cat is back, so it's time for us to say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.